Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
It needs to have a nut in it.
Tickle, tickle, tickle.
Figuratively and literally.
This is America. We're about winning championships.
Bro.
Guys, move on.
Okay.
I can't imagine that there's been a bigger one, has there?
I'm viewing a guy-on-guy situation.
Why would you do that to us?
I don't know.
All right, relatively on time. It's an upset.
Hey, look at us.
6:03. Now, let me get this out of the way.
Yesterday, we were grossly over.
We're always over.
Yeah, but normally we don't cut into like 10 minutes of the club. We got very sportsy. I don't remember what we were sportsing on yesterday, but.
Well, it was OJ audio. And then we got to Francesa audio.
Yeah,
and...
that's right. Yeah, speaking of the OJ thing, I watched I listened to an interview with. Who's the Goldman? What was it? Ron Goldman? The other guy that got killed?
Yes, Ron Goldman. His dad's name is Fred Goldman.
Getting confused. I saw and listened to an interview with his sister, and it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, they're still making the rounds, the sister and the dad, because they don't want people to forget.
No, and she it was a really it was a really telling interview. A lot of stuff, and I've followed a lot with that case over the years, and I've read a book. Actually, I think I've read a whole book, and then I've read parts of two others that I think were very good, but. I've watched documentaries. Oh, that case just enthralled a lot of people. And she just had a lot of details that I had no idea. And some of the stuff was downright spooky. I guess she tried to go see OJ when he was in prison. And he agreed to do it. And the thing that stopped it was they were going to make her sign a non-disclosure agreement.
I thought she was doing like a podcast or something. And that's why she wanted to talk to him on the...
She just, the one I heard said that she wanted some kind of closure. And so she said she went about it very nicely. She wrote a bunch of letters because she figured if she went, you know, full guns a-blazing that, you know, he would just tell her to go pound sand. So she wrote several letters and she got in contact with his attorney. And his attorney kept saying, I'm not going to be able to protect you. And she was like, I don't know if he meant emotionally or physically or whatever, but he's like, I'm a big girl. I can handle it. And ultimately, what it came down to is she wouldn't sign a non-disclosure agreement because it was she wanted him to admit it. And it sounds like, at least according to the attorney, through her words, that he thought he might tell her that. And she never did. The other one that I thought was really creepy is she said Johnny Cochran, who doesn't get enough credit for being a total slime ball, after the verdict was read, Johnny Cochran leaned over to her and said, gotcha.
Ooh.
As the verdict was read, and I thought that was absolutely absolutely chilling. Just a lot of details. It was a really interesting interview, and I happened to listen to it that night that I was driving home after we were talking about OJ.
So earlier in the show, Jace, you mentioned, because we were watching the Top Gun 2 trailer.
Yes.
And we mentioned that Ed Harris looks old, and Tom Cruise doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Tom Cruise looks older than... like you know, peak Tom Cruise.
He looks great for 57.
But he's 57 years old. And then you brought up Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
And you were, I thought, uniquely and oddly defensive of Sylvester Stallone's looks at the age of 73. And when I Google image Sylvester Stallone, I kind of want to throw up, but, you know, I don't think he looks that good because he's had too much plastic surgery.
Yeah,
now,
his face is a little weird.
You said, find me someone who is 73 who looks better than Sylvester Stallone. I said, I'll definitely do that. This is where I owe you an apology. I could not do that.
No.
Although I do have one person, but it's a female.
Okay.
And I just think that that's kind of, it's like apples and oranges. It's got to be a male.
Sure.
If I'm really going to prove you wrong here. Because I looked at, so Sylvester Stallone was born in 1946. Mm-hmm. And I looked at all, you know, they have these lists of famous people born in 1946. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of 73-year-olds that look better than freaking Sylvester Stallone's creepy, like, plastic face.
Sure.
But if they're not famous, I can't, you know, there's nothing I can drum up to show you. So we've got to stick with famous people. And the people born in 1956, Freddie Mercury, dead. Donald Trump, not going to do it.
No.
Ted Bundy, dead. Bill Clinton, George Bush, not looking good. Or as good as him. Andre the Giant, dead. Alan Rickman, dead. Spielberg, I can't use him.
No.
And I kept going down this list, and I was trying so hard. I'm like, surely one of the... Tommy Lee Jones... Eh. All of these guys look way worse than Sylvester Stallone.
Say what you will. I get his face looks a little weird.
But he looks good. He looks good, yeah, for 73.
Like, look at this. Like, this is Stallone just a month ago.
No, listen, I'm... Jason, you don't have to convince me. I'm apologizing to you. So Jimmy Buffett's on here. John Waters looks pretty good, but he looks way older than Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
And so I got all the way down to this opera singer, and I looked at him. I'm like, man, he looks pretty good. I think I'm going to present this. And then I went, you know what? You've already lost. It's like some opera singer no one cares about. No, you lost.
Yeah.
So I'm being the bigger man, and I'm apologizing. You are correct. Nobody born in 1956, at least of the most famous people, looks as good as Sylvester Stallone. Now, the woman that I'm talking about that I think gives him a run for his money is Dolly Parton.
Yeah, she looks good.
She looks great. And I would argue that she looks better than Sylvester Stallone. They were born in the same year, but female, I think it's easier.
And I would say no. I would say Dolly Parton's face looks better, but I promise you that underneath that, Dolly Parton is probably a big old mess. Whereas Stallone, you can look at Stallone, like, he's got, like, workout pics and stuff, and or, like, I showed a picture of him on the beach. Dude, the guy looks amazing. He's in better shape than 99% of people that are of any age.
And Dolly certainly had her surgeries as well.
And like Schwarzenegger's the same. Schwarzenegger's 71. He looks amazing.
He's 71.
He's 71. He looks incredible. Now, granted, he doesn't look like Schwarzenegger from Peak, and I get that they're probably both like roided to the gills or on growth hormone or whatever else, but...
Well,
look, my point is, when you're 71, if you wake up and you look like that, you're doing something right.
I get it. I'm sorry.
Wow. This is big of you.
Yeah, I try to fight it.
Yeah, you...
As do you.
Yeah.
Don't act like you don't.
Yeah.
But this one, I just said, you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'll take it.
Don't say I've never apologized.
No. It's been, 16 years? There's a first time. There's a first time for everything.
By the way, Harrison Ford, also born in 1946, looks awful.
Yeah, it's you know, he did look good for a long time, but it's gone.
I underestimated. Yeah, I'll tell you where my mistake was, because I don't think Sylvester Stallone looks good. But you're right, he's in shape.
Yeah,
and I underestimated kind of how old 73 is.
It's old. it's legit old.
And
man,
I think I'm in denial because my parents are older than that. Yeah. So I'm like, ooh, I don't think of them as that old, but...
Yeah, they are. Man, you get to
getting up there.
My dad passed away at 71. You're not... I guaranteed a whole lot after that, or even, honestly, before that. But to put that in perspective, like, your average... Mike Francesa, who looks, again, like a hefty bag of sweaty lunch meat, he's 65.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That old dude?
Like, you put if you put Mike Francesa and the, like, Schwarzenegger or Stallone side by side and realize... that Francesa is the younger one, by multiple years on either one of those guys.
How do you think Chuck Norris is looking? Have you seen him lately?
Yeah.
He looks pretty good, dude. He's almost 80.
Yes.
He's 79.
Same sort of thing in that the face is, you know.
Big deal.
It's pretty weathered, but same thing. The guy's
well, he's got the teeth going. Yeah. He's got the veneers.
And he's got fake hair.
Fake hair, and he's kind of tan.
Yeah, he looks. If you told me I could look like that when I'm 80.
Now, I will tell you what. I've just Google imaged Chuck Norris, his older pics.
Yeah.
He looks better than Sly Stallone, and he's 6 years older than he is.
You think he looks
better? Yes. I think he looks. There's some really good pictures that not. I don't know when these were taken, but they look like he's.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks closer to 80 here.
Yeah, he looks.
And he dyes everything. That helps.
I think Michael Douglas might be one of those that's getting up there that is still okay.
Saw him recently.
You know, it's starting.
He came over to my house. That's what it was.
You know, again, it's starting to show the age, but
he looks old.
He's 74.
But he's just got that look like his dad, where it's like he just has that kind of I think he's always kind of looked old.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's got a
the Keith Richards thing.
A little bit.
Keith Richards looked 65 when he was 45. It's just kind of one of those, so he's aged. Well, he looked terrible when he was younger, and now you look at him, you're like, it's not so bad. Because he just has kind of maintained his old man look.
And Kirk Douglas is still with us, I believe.
Yeah, he's
like 100 years old, right?
It's not good.
God, he's 102.
Yeah, he's had like a stroke, and it's...
I know, but he's 102, man. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, De Niro's 75. He looks good. He's kept it together.
Think about all the things Kirk Douglas has seen, you know, the golden age of Hollywood, you know, through all that. He was like peeking right through that time.
Well, they always say like when you die, right? You just don't, you want to be able to lay there and say that you didn't get cheated. Dude, none of the Douglases got cheated. Those were full and rich lives.
All right. We're going to analyze the goals of youth in China versus the U.S.
Okay. I'm guessing that they're going to embarrass us.
What would make you say that?
I think their goals significantly better than our goals.
We have meth gators, cocaine wigs, and another serial pooper. A lot to get to. 613 on the fan.
Day.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
We do have one texter texting in who said that, because I was only looking at 73-year-olds, people born in 1946, but Ben Kingsley is 75. He was born 2 years prior. He looks awesome.
Yep.
Ben Kingsley looks better than Sly Stallone.
Would have never guessed that he was 75. Now, to be fair, his face looks better than Stallone. He's in nowhere near the shape that Stallone is. And to defend Sylvester Stallone, he was born with his face paralyzed. So some of that weird look is, well... It's a birth defect. His face got messed up when he was born.
Yeah, but that's always been a part of his look. He's plasticked up.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And by the way, Gary Player is 83.
Is he really?
Yeah. He looks pretty good, man.
Well,
you saw him naked.
Yeah,
he
was naked.
Yeah.
In the ES, well, I mean, I didn't see him just like running around naked. He like wasn't over in my yard being naked. But yeah, he.
But he would be though. If you invited him.
In the ESPN.
83.
The body issue.
Looks pretty good, man.
Well, who else? What,
10 years older.
How old's Greg Norman?
Oh, the shark. That's a good one.
Because he looks amazing.
That's a good one.
Same thing. It made me think of that because he was in the ESPN body issue.
I don't think he's as old.
And
yeah, he's only 64.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So give him 9 years. We'll see what happens.
But yeah, he looked great in that. Like he's same thing. Like he's a super fitness guy.
Kids in the United States and China have starkly different goals, as revealed by a survey that asked them if they'd rather become astronauts or YouTubers. American kids would rather be YouTubers than astronauts when they grow up.
That in no way surprises me.
This is a Harris poll. In China, the trend is reversed. More kids are interested in going to space than becoming influencers.
Yeah.
The most successful YouTubers, of course, have become celebrities earning millions of dollars a year. This is from Business Insider. This is on behalf of Lego. Harris poll. 3,000 kids in the U.S., U.K., and China, what they want to be when they grow up, presenting them with five options. Vlogger/YouTuber. That's one. Teacher, pro athlete, musician, and astronaut.
See, and some of that is unfair. Like, no one's going to say a teacher. Right?
I mean, you don't think so?
No.
All right, well, let's read on. In both the U.S. and U.K., vlogger and YouTuber was the most popular choice, 29 and 30%, respectively.
Isn't that funny that it's more than being an athlete or musician?
That's number one.
I told you that every now and then I'll get asked to go speak at a school or like a career day or something. And you know, someone's like, hey, will you come? And I'm like, sure. I usually try to say yes if I've got the time. And that's always one of those things, the career days. And I've done 10 of these over the years, maybe. And I always ask, like, who wants, you know, always ask that question, like, what do you want to be? And it used to always be years and years ago that it was always musicians. It was always a rapper. It was never a musician. It was, I want to be a rapper. And I want to be a pro athlete. It was almost universal. And it's almost the exact opposite now. When you go and ask, it's all the time. I'm going to be a professional video game player or esports player, or I want to be I want to do something on Instagram or YouTube. It's amazing to see that turn in just a couple of years.
So astronaut was last at 11%. This is US and UK. In China, the trend was reversed with more than half the respondents selecting astronaut, 56%. The reason for the differences is unknown. Perhaps it is because America has been there, done that in terms of lunar exploration with the Apollo program.
I'm going to say that China values education and pushes it, and we're morons, and we're raising moron kids, and we just shove YouTube and Instagram in front of their face all day.
The other thing here is that YouTube is blocked in China. So that would be part of it. But the other thing, too, is that... kids in China chose teacher second.
Yeah. Again, I think that just comes down to the importance that education is placed. And I just think we've got our heads squarely put somewhere when it comes to that.
But at least the UK is running right alongside us. You know, with our... And pro athlete was second, too.
The biggest problem I have with
in U.S. Sorry.
In the U.S. and the U.K.
Pro athlete was last
in China,
along with... YouTuber. Pro athlete was second behind vlogger YouTuber in the US and UK.
Yeah. And
so they're dreaming big.
Yeah. But I think the only problem I have with the esport thing and the YouTube is that it's replaced athlete, but we've talked about this, but there's this notion amongst kids that somehow that's easier than being an athlete. Right? It's like, well, I couldn't be a pro athlete, so I'll just be a YouTube star. As if everyone that starts their own YouTube channel or goes on Instagram is going to be a star. And so the same misguided, 15-year-old that was slow and unathletic and thought they were going to be an NBA player, it's the same person that's uninteresting or, you know, non-creative or not that good-looking that has a YouTube channel and is like, well, I don't understand why I don't have a million subscribers. It's the same sort of mentality. I just think it's easier for people to believe in the millions of dollars in fame and fortune that's coming their way on social media.
Mike, what'd you want to be when you grew up?
I want to say probably a baseball player.
Pro athlete?
Yeah. And then I realized I wasn't good enough, so then I said play-by-play announcer for the Yankees. That was my, like, 10...
Yankee! And now here you are.
Yeah. And now look, you're well on your way.
Well on
to
my
that,
way.
To that gig.
To replacing John Sterling.
Hey. Gloria! Gloria!
Travis Demers did that. Like, and just kind of, I don't know, he probably won't get the permanent job, but he called the Blazer game at Madison Square Garden. Lived out that
called
guy's
a lot
dreams.
Of Blazer games, actually, this year. See? Playoff games, too.
Hey, what about Swigard?
Yeah, Hillsboro Hops.
Yeah, but what if, I mean, the Blazers, you know, Wheels isn't coming back. What if Swigard ends up the Blazers play-by-play guy?
The Blazers win. What did young Isaac Gropp want to be?
Blazers.
Well, at first it was an attorney.
The Honorable.
And so then when I got, then I went and got that degree.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't want to do that. So then,
when you were in college, did you want to be an attorney still?
I wanted to go. School? Well, you know, my mom went to UT.
Yeah.
Texas. I wanted to go to law school at UT. She wouldn't let me. So she didn't want me to go to UT. She thought it was too big. She went there. I mean, it's the biggest school in the U.S. She just didn't want me to go there, at least right out of the gate. So I went to KU and lost my way and graduated with a sports management degree. And now look at me.
And you could have been the
look at this loser.
I, Everett Ropp.
Yeah. I don't know if I really...
You could have been a judge somewhere dispensing justice.
I don't know. I like this.
It's not
it
bad.
Worked out fine.
Well, you still dispense justice. It's just right. Radio courtroom justice.
That's right, with my fart gavel.
With the fart gavel.
I love that.
It's justice is justice.
Okay, so, yeah, let's get to Meth Gators here. Now, this is from Tennessee. Don't flush your drugs, okay?
Why not? Isn't that what you're supposed to do when the cops raid you? You go all fleshy flush?
That's what I'd do.
I've never done that. I've never had the cops show up at my door.
If you do that, can they?
No, right? I mean,
like, how would they? I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's what I do.
Yeah.
You can't put it anywhere else. You got to flush it.
I've seen Goodfellas.
And then you'll get away with it.
That's what you do, right? Can they go into your sewer? Find remnants of the cocaine?
A Middle Tennessee Police Department is warning people about flushing drugs down the toilet, saying fouls and alligators on meth are possible. The Loretta Police Department posted a drug roundup over the weekend on Facebook, posted about a drug roundup. But authorities also typed up a special note in the post about how meth and drugs can affect wildlife. Ducks, geese, and other fowl frequent our treatment ponds, and we shudder to think what one all hyped up on meth would do.
Well, we had that story not too long ago about the guy from Alabama that supposedly was keeping a meth-fueled attack squirrel. Were you here for that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a guy, and apparently he had a squirrel, and he kept it all hopped up on meth, and the neighbors were freaked out because, like, well, he had a rabid meth squirrel. Now we've got a series of meth birds.
Furthermore,
meth, who knows what else?
If it made it far enough, we could create meth gators in Shoal Creek and the Tennessee River down in North Alabama. They've had enough methed-up animals the past few weeks without our help, so if you need to dispose of your drugs, just give us a call, and we'll make sure they're disposed of in the proper way. That was a real message.
Am I the only one who would be mildly interested in meth gators?
It'd be interesting. Well, we've talked about this before, haven't we?
Meth gators?
Yeah, we've talked about, like, what animal would be the least... What animal would you least be able to contain all methed?
Yeah. Meth gator, dude. That's pretty scary. But the same thing, if I could watch him a distance, there's a shrubbery in the way or whatnot, maybe a gently rolling hill that the gator's not going to be able to get up.
I think we determined monkey.
Oh, meth monkey. See, I don't remember this. I don't know if I was here for that.
No, you were here. It was like the other day.
Meth monkey's all kinds of bad.
Because it was about the squirrel. That's what we were talking about. So...
Like a meth gorilla.
Anyway, I can't imagine this is a thing.
Is it? Is it? Like, no. We've been flushing drugs for years, right? Maybe that's what's giving way to the animal uprising.
But it is Tennessee, so you never know.
If movies have taught me anything, it's that animals do live in the sewer, and they're affected by things. I mean, that's how, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles started, right?
But hey, look,
some sort of ooze down there, and then we got, like, Ninja Turtles.
If
Why
I've
can't
got
we
meth
gators?
To flush, I'm sorry, I'm not thinking about the gators. I'm flushing it.
No, you gotta flush,
I gotta get rid
right?
of it. Now, how about this? Cocaine wig. A 65-year-old Colombian man stepped off a plane in Barcelona looking extremely nervous, and for good reason. Now, this is going to come with a homework assignment. You have to look at the picture of this guy.
It's unbelievable.
As he passes through security, authorities notice he was wearing a curiously large hairpiece under a hat. They said his facial expressions immediately made it look like he had something to hide, so they pulled him aside to investigate. And that's when they found $47,000 worth of cocaine under the wig.
I just couldn't picture, because I saw the photo, but they blacked out his face. I can just see this dude, just this poor bastard, just sweating bullets as he walks through. And I'd like to believe that, like, his, I don't know, whoever was in charge of this whole thing looked at him and was like, dude, you look fine. He's like, seriously, can you tell? No, man. Looks totally natural.
So basically it looks like, okay, so he's pretty bald.
Yeah.
But he has side hair. It basically looks like you put a block of cocaine on the top of your head and then just set a wig on top of a toupee on top of it. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, the toupee's sitting up a good solid 4 inches.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that this guy thought he would get away with this. The man was detained and the white powder was tested and confirmed to be a half a kilo of coke. He's been charged with crime against public health.
Do you think it was because he was afraid of keistering it? Like, that's what he was supposed to do, but he couldn't bring himself to, you know, get it up there. So he had to come up with something last minute.
Well, that's a little big for the old butthole.
Well, I mean, where else are you going to put it? Isn't that
well,
where
I think,
you...
I was thinking about this. I'm like, well, if you have to smuggle,
yeah,
and you can see the cocaine, you can see how it's like a block of cocaine, yes. Right?
It is not a small amount of coke.
If you had to do that, how would you do it? He just threw it under the toupee and thought nothing of it. What about like a secret, like, how, I mean, seriously, how would you?
The only way you could, you'd have to take it through security and hope that you didn't get the scanner. Because if you get the scanner, you're hooped. But most international places that I've flown don't have the scanner. They just have the metal detector.
Are you better off sending
it? Right, but in the U.S., you're going to be the scanner 95% of the time.
Yeah, and then you're hooped. There's nothing you...
Are you better off sending it in a secret compartment in a piece of luggage?
Yes.
And hope that they miss it.
And hope that they miss it. That's the
only way.
Because
they ain't missing it when it's on the top of your head, bro.
No. Although, I'll tell you what. If I was going international and I thought there was a chance...
Bro.
That... that you weren't going to have to go through the body scanner, you got to go undies, right? It's just,
what do you mean?
Well, you know, maybe...
They're going to get it there, too.
Maybe put it in the front, you know. Maybe put it in the, you know, some sweatpants and...
Sucker.
Accentuate the bulge.
Yeah, but there's still... I mean, it's the same as, like...
But if you're just going through a metal detector...
Yeah, I guess if you're just...
You just got to make sure that you don't have anything metal on so they don't wand you. Sir, why... What's happening there in front?
Okay, we have Serial Pooper News. By the way, go look at that guy's photo. It's something else.
It's amazing. I've got an update to the Serial Pooper story, too.
And we'll have that for you next. But first, Mike with sports.
For you today.com.
Double Sun Power!
Okay, there's a new Serial Pooper on the loose.
Yep. This one, Crime Scene Michigan. This is you.
Wasn't the last one in Michigan?
No, I thought that was in Ohio where the person was jogging. Wasn't that a mission? Or wasn't that an Ohio one?
Well, it's all in the same area.
Yeah,
that region is very poopy.
What is with the Midwest in pooping?
Well, Colorado was one too. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. This certain because we had that was that the neighborhood jogger?
Yeah. I still don't know if they ever caught that person.
Not the one who was pooping on the hoods of cars.
It was the woman.
Yeah, it turned out to be a lady.
They had her on camera and they still couldn't find her.
Still couldn't find her. This one was a suburban Detroit neighborhood. And it is in Macomb County. And get this, it got so bad that they had to cancel the city's carnival to pay for another pool staffer to monitor the situation and to clean up the pool. It doesn't say how many times. But it does say that it was so frequent that they believe this to be intentional. As if someone was unintentionally pooping in the pool and no one was noticing. But it was the Buckingham Recreational Facilities. And it did. It canceled its annual carnival to pay for another pool staffer and to clean up. And there was a notice posted by the Neighborhood Association. The board president said that someone has been defecating in the pool due to the frequency over the past week. We believe this to be intentional at the present time. We are reviewing attendance logs. I bet you are reviewing those logs. And recorded video. Rest assured, we are following proper guidelines to restore the pool to a safe and sanitary condition. Unfortunately, these closures are costing the Recreational Association money and downtime for our members. Beginning on Friday, July 12th, a second pool attendant will be on hand to assist with daily functions. And they are going to... They're going to keep someone there at night because they think someone's breaking in the night and doing it. And it says, due to the additional cost, we have opted to cancel the annual carnival. The pooper brought the township's carnival to its knees.
Well, I can't begin to think how unsanitary. So if somebody does that multiple times in a pool of water,
yeah,
I just can't begin to think of how unsanitary that becomes.
Chlorine kills everything, right?
Well, I don't know, man. I think that's...
Now, I did find out, I saw
maybe
this.
I'm wrong.
No, but I found this little fact.
That's
awful. We were up at one of the water parks not too long ago, and someone hipped me to this, and I looked it up. So, you know, you go to, like, one of the water parks or the public pools, and the chlorine is so strong, like, it feels like it's going to burn your eyes. That's not chlorine. Mm. That's chlorine interacting with piss. So, like, if you put a bunch of chlorine, it doesn't have that burning. That is what happens when there's a bunch of urine in the pool, and it reacts with the chlorine. So if you ever go to one of those, you're like, God, there's so much chlorine. No, there's not. There's just that much urine, and it's interacting with the chlorine, well, and that's what's burning your face.
I know you guys don't watch this, but you might have seen clips of it. Have you ever seen the South Park episode where they go to a water park and so many people are peeing in the water park that everything turns into pee. There's a certain threshold they can't pass, and if they pass it, it's just like this molten waterfall of pee everywhere. And they all get stuck in the park, and they're climbing up on all the attractions, and there's just yellow water everywhere. It's a really funny episode.
There's like a contract you make with yourself when you go to a public pool. You just accept the fact that you're knee-deep in someone's whiz. Like, you just, you look around, like, you go to a Great Wolf Lodge or the Aviation Place, what is that, the Evergreen, and you look around, it, like, 80% of the people there are under the age of 12. You really think that they're getting out and stopping their aquatic fun time to make a run to the bathroom?
No, I'm with you, but you can't see that. And
but the
turds,
poop, but the poop you can.
You can.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a difference for people.
We were at the Great Wolf once when, I forget what it was called, but it's like, it's a code something that it's like a code 4, and you have to clear the pool.
Code yellow?
No, it should be code brown. They sounded the little siren for everyone to get out of the pool. And so then everyone was like, why are they clearing the big wave pool? And that's when we heard it was like a code 4, whatever it was. And that meant someone released the brown trout. Someone had an oopsie. And for whatever reason, when that happens, like, you have to clear the pool, and there is a whole process to in order for it to be safe. And it's like the people in Michigan, I guess it's a costly thing. I don't think you don't have to drain the pool, but you have to treat it, and you obviously have to get the the baby Ruth out of said pool. So it's a whole thing. You can pee in the pool all you want, but you can't do a number two.
Okay, so have you ever done that in water?
What?
Of any kind?
Pee or the other?
Well, obviously, hasn't everyone peed in water?
Oh, yeah. Just accept the fact that not in the pool.
No, not in the pool.
But
I'm saying just out in the ocean.
If we're in the ocean or if we're in a lake somewhere and we're swimming by each other, just expect the fact that I'm peeing on you.
I think everyone's done that.
Plus,
it's like a rite of passage.
Plus, most of the time, if I'm out in a public body of water, I'm also drinking, and that just means that it's just...
What are you going to do, go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Not happening.
Doing it right here.
Yeah.
But number two, in water, have you ever done that?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. Once, because I didn't have a choice, and the other time was for comedic purposes.
No. All right, so the first time, code orange... jumping in, you're on a boat or something?
First time I did it, we were in Hawaii, and I did it to offend my football coach, and he turned to me and asked me what the F was wrong with me.
We still don't know the answer to that.
That was Gary Croton, by the way, and he did not find it nearly as funny as I did.
And he loved it when he got to Oregon and realized that you were a radio host here.
Yes, I did.
That was one of his favorite moments.
I mean, technically, I pooped on Gary Croton. I mean, I pooped near him, and I thought it was hilarious. The second time was 100% unintentional. I was on a boat, no bathroom, and it was...
Just got to go. Well, that's not a bad place to get
it was going down. Well, you know, in Mexico, sometimes, you know, the water, even if you don't drink the water, the ice will get you. And I think that's what happened, is I had been drinking from bottles, but I had been using ice, and I got the bug. Mm. And there was nothing I could do, and it was going to go down. It was like your situation on the bus, and so I just... Peter panned over the edge of the boat and had at it.
Because I feel like if you do that in water, like, you're only doing yourself the biggest disservice because you're the closest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No one minds their own brand, though.
I do. of the poo-poo?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here.
That's true. But it's pretty funny.
No, that's not funny.
Trust me, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
That's disgusting.
Yes, it is. But it's also hilarious if you do it properly.
I can't believe you think that's funny.
It was. The look on his face, the utter disgust and disdain he had. Plus, I didn't really care for him that much, and I wanted to do that. I feel like if he was being honest... Three or four of the most disturbing moments of his life were at my hands, and I take some pride in that.
So apparently there was an article recently about how it's, you don't have to, like, filter your water if you're in the backcountry of some in some parts of the world.
You don't have to filter your water?
No, like a runoff, you know, like glacial runoff.
Yeah, sure.
And that was published by Slate, an outdoor magazine. Ran a counter article to it and said that they have learned recently, in recent years, they have learned that poop from many different types of
animals
or mountaineers or whatever survives in glaciers way longer than we thought.
Oh boy.
Yes.
You're drinking like mammoth poo?
Yes. You need to filter your water, even if you think you're drinking directly from that beautiful glacial runoff.
I've done that before,
runoff.
By the way. So I've...
Yeah, you've drank poop.
Oh, well.
Bro.
But how did our ancestors do it then? Right? Were they
They just drank poop.
Yeah, were they just that much tougher?
No, they just died earlier.
I've done that before, like when you've been outside and you get that and you're like, oh, that's crystal clear and it's fast running and you can see it being filtered through the rocks and you're like, all right, I'll give that a whirl. So it turns out I've been drinking monkey poop. Oh, solid.
Yeah. All right. Your brother, we'll find out if he's drank poop. What a show. Coming up next on The Fan.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sakanik on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up after us, it is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. Here is John. Hello.
Here I am. Boy, your last segment was really crappy.
Ah, I see what you did there.
See what I did there? Come on.
I did.
All right. I'm not laughing. Sorry, that was low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry.
Clean it up, John.
What are you doing?
Getting ready to go to the airport. I'm headed to Cooperstown tonight, so I'm just putting the final touches on packing, and we're going to take the red eye to JFK here in a few hours. So looking forward to that.
So walk us through what you're going to do. Like, what are you doing out there?
I'm just going to experience the magic of Cooperstown. I know you've never been, right?
No, never been.
Yeah, so this is my third trip, and I really love it there. It's awesome. Cooperstown is tiny. Like, it is literally one street. There's one street that goes through downtown, and they shut the whole thing down. And if we're baseball fans, it's just baseball heaven. You wander down the streets. There's memorabilia shops and baseball card shops and sports shops and people everywhere. And weekends like this, there'll be tons of Mariner fans. And down at the end of Main Street, just at the end of the road, is the Hall of Fame. So I'm going to go cruise the Hall of Fame and maybe get some autographs and meet some players and see what's going on. And then Sunday I'm going to watch Edgar get inducted. And I'm looking forward to it.
Baseballism has a shop out there.
Yeah, they do. I know there's one of the co-founders there is going to be there. And so I've already texted him and we're going to try to meet up and get lunch or something. But they have a really cool shop right in downtown Cooperstown. I think that's the first, other than Portland, I think that's the first store they opened.
Now, let me ask you this. How many autographs do you have of Edgar Martinez?
How many do I have of Edgar?
Yeah.
I probably have 10.
Jesus.
Now, will you get another Edgar autograph while you're in Cooperstown?
No, I will not. The guys that are inducted don't sign very often because they got so much other stuff going on that weekend. Now, I think he is doing a signing, but it's Monday after the induction, and I'll be on my way home. But being from the Northwest, I've had many chances to get Edgar Martinez, so I'm not all that disappointed that I won't get him in Cooperstown.
Are you going to hang with Ken Griffey Jr.?
If I could see, again, this is the theory, and I didn't get to try it in 16 when I was there. I believe that if I saw him, he would recognize me to some degree, and there would be some sort of interaction. So the plan is I need to get close enough for him to see me, and we'll see what happens.
Because he was too busy during his induction, but he'll be there probably for Edgar, and maybe he's got more downtime.
Yes, exactly. That's the theory. So maybe he'll just be cruising around somewhere, and I'll be like, hey, Ken, what's up? And he'll say, hey, why don't you come hang with me this weekend? And I'll say, that'd be fun, and then we'll do that.
You now see what John dreams about at night. He's been playing this scenario out in his head over and over, probably for the last 6 months.
Now, I know you're not a drinker, but if Ken Griffey Jr. said, hey, man, let's go, you and me, let's go get loaded. Would you do it?
Well, I told you my biggest regret from Cooperstown 2016 is that I had the chance to go drinking with Lenny Dykstra and I turned it down.
I was so disgusted. That
wouldn't have just been drinking.
No, that's a story of a lifetime, John, and you totally botched it.
I believe you gentlemen call that a opportunity.
Yeah, and you don't turn down opportunities, and I understand that the man in the sky would have been unhappy with you, but that's what repenting's for, John.
Listen, I understand that.
You'd have gotten over it.
I fully believe that I probably should have taken that chance, and I regret to some degree missing it, because can you only imagine what happened that night? It's Lenny Dykstra. He's insane.
Yes.
Sober, he's insane.
Yes. It's like the Ghostbusters. When someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. When Lenny Dykstra asks you if you want to go out, you say yes. You don't say no to those questions. Even if it's just to survey the situation and then decide at some point, you know what, I can't do this. I'm going to bail. But you at least go to the secondary crime scene.
Now, they don't. You don't get second chances very often, but maybe Mr. Dykstra is in Cooperstown this weekend, too, and maybe there'll be another a shot at
him. I think he's in prison.
No, I believe those charges were dropped.
I think Dwight Gooden's in prison, so he won't be there.
No, wait, you know who will be? You know who will be, who I'm super excited for? Is prior to Ken Griffey Jr. being my baseball hero, Daryl Strawberry, and I've never got a chance to meet him, and he'll be in Cooperstown, so I'm going to go find the great Daryl Strawberry and get his autograph.
All right. Well, there you go.
You could also fake drink with Junior. You know, that can be done.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
like a club soda sort of thing.
I'll get these, Ken. Don't worry. You might spend a little extra money, but yeah, you get like what looks like a vodka and soda or something and put a little lime in there. He'll never know the difference, especially after he gets loaded.
Now, what's the protocol? Like, let's say that I got to go hang out with Griffey Jr. Is the protocol that should I buy the drinks? Is that how that works?
You just kind of got to play that by ear. Just make sure you buy at least a round.
Right. I think you wait. See how it goes. Yeah. And then, you know, at the end, if it comes to it, you'll have to split the bill. But I doubt he would let you do that.
No.
One of us has millions of dollars and one of us has tens of dollars. So, like, what's... I don't want to look like a fool. I think I should at least buy something.
Well, you shouldn't.
That's why you said you buy a round.
And you should also not expect. Never expect.
No.
You shouldn't expect anything, but chances are he'd pick up the 10.
You're going to be okay.
All right, so here's my top three. I'm going to try to drink with Lenny Dykstra. I'm going to try to drink with Ken Griffey Jr., and I'm going to go meet Daryl Strawberry. That's what I'm looking to do.
Solid game plan.
Have fun.
All right, I'll talk to you guys from Cooperstown tomorrow.
Love your body. There he goes. He loves that whole Hall of Fame thing.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
No one's sports pants get tighter than my brother's.
And I love that about him. I think that's great.
He is a childlike wonder.
All right. Andrew Nimmick coming up next. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red Chips of Spain. Red Chips of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.